Get all the sporting views on and off the field on Clare FM's Sideline View in association with DNG O'Sullivan Hurley.
Good evening and welcome along to Clare FM's Sideline View. It's Derek Lynch with you until 7 o'clock this evening. Coming up on the show, we will look ahead to a massive weekend for Clare with the hurlers, camogie side and footballers all out in action. And this weekend marks the return of club games in hurling across the county as well. We'll have those details for you later, along with details of the O'Gorman Cup openers and our usual Greyhound focus too. So plenty to get through this week. We begin this evening though with a look ahead to Clare's National Football League promotion playoff against Mayo in Cusick Park on Sunday afternoon. No permutations to consider here, just the reality that the winner of that game, by whatever means possible, and we could be going to penalties if it should come to that, but whoever wins will go up to Division 1 for 2022, so it does promise to be an entertaining day in Cusick Park. Ahead of that, I spoke to Banner stalwart David Tubridy last week, and he'll be looking to extend his lead, of course, at the head of the overall scoring stakes in the National League. He began by giving his reaction to hearing that he had taken that mantle after their last outing against Cork.
I never really kept count or anything like that, and I didn't even think I'd be anywhere close. I didn't even know what the record was in the first place. So to be told that I'd become the all-time National League scorer was huge. It was a big shock, and it's great, something great to get.
A debut back in 2007. Can you remember how it came about when you first got that call for the county?
It was a Tommy Murphy Cup game. My first game. I always remember the game because it was Declan Brown's last football match for Tipperary. That was my first game for Clare. So that's how I remember it so well, blowing Ard Finnan, blowing Tipperary. So we got the win that day, which was great. And I had Paddy O'Shea as my manager, which was great as well.
What was it like to get the call from someone like Paddy? I mean, that's obviously getting called for your county is great, of course, but for someone like Paddy to make the call?
It was super. Like, it was just it was a dream come true to always play with your county at senior level. And once you get that call, you want to jump all over it. I was playing with the juniors that year, and we got narrowly beaten by a point in the Munster final, below Limerick by Cork. And Tommy Murphy Cup was still in it. So I got the call for that, which was super. And I've never looked back since, once I got the call.
It's probably no surprise to anybody that knows the Tubridy background that you would have come up the ranks like that, given what Tommy had done before you as well. How much of an influence has he been on what you've achieved?
He's always been there for me, I suppose, through the bad days as well, which is you always need a pickup. And anytime you've had a bad game, he always has your back when he comes in. But I suppose when you have a good game as well, he's always a fella to bring you back down to the ground. As he always says to me, that clapping the back is not too far away from kick up the arse. So I suppose that's why I always keep myself grounded. I don't get carried away with good games or man of the matches or anything like that, because I know the following day you could be getting everybody could be on top of you. So he's been brilliant to me. I suppose he's always been always egging me on to practice my left and right, which is great. I suppose you can see it now that it's come in handy for me. So he's since I was 3 or 4, he's always been egging me on for practice left and right, and he's still doing it these days with the nieces and nephews and any child that comes into the bar. He goes, "Are you practicing your left and right?" Which is something like you have to be teaching kids these days.
It sounds so basic when you say it, but like when you'd watch even top inter-county games, the amount of defenders that will try and shepherd a guy onto a particular foot because they know that that's the kind of foot that he'll struggle with, that's never something that defenders have been able to do with yourself. So I mean, it's incredible to have that skill.
But I suppose when I was younger, I suppose I wasn't I was small fella. I wasn't that big. My friends all around me were always kind of a small bit taller than me, and I suppose I had to get ways around it. And when you keep practicing with your left and right, you can always get out of trouble. And it's something that I've used all the way up through the years. And as you said, like it's tough for a defender to cover one foot if you can come back onto the other one. And that's what you kind of teach kids these days, that it'll always get you out of trouble if you know how to kick left and right.
We'll get back to football in a second, but I'm also conscious of the fact that Tubridy's Bar and Restaurant is a massive part of your life as well, obviously. And Joe Gary on our commentaries always refers to you as the Dunbeg publican. So he has taken that, whether it's been signed over or not is irrelevant. Joe has given the bar and restaurant to you. What have the last couple of months been like in that sense? I mean, obviously the doors have been closed. It can't have been easy in a very seasonal kind of an industry.
No, it's been tough with the bar closed. We didn't open at Christmas time. We just said it just wasn't worth opening up for the week that was in it. But you miss doing the bar. The evening times were tough during the winter time, because when you're doing the bar, you always have somebody in the bar. You always talk to somebody in the evening times, and it passes the night, and you miss the locals around the place and stuff like that. And we're getting back to it. We're close enough to getting people back in the doors again, which is great. You can outdoor dining this week, I think Monday. So no, it's great to get people back. We're getting back to normal, so it's great.
Because Dunbeg has been often highlighted as a brilliant community to support each other. Like, I mean, we've heard stories of people being over in Tommy Comerford's and he telling them this and go back the street. Tommy Tuberty has music behind, and you know, the favour would often be returned as well. It's incredible the way the community pulls together like that, even all the festivals that you have back there.
Yeah, I think it's great the way we always all pull together. The pubs, we always stick together, and as you said, like we send each other to each other's pubs and stuff like that. If there's music on in one pub, we'll send them down, we'll tell them where to go, or if food, vice versa, and stuff like that. But it's a great community around here. Everybody looks out for each other. I suppose the last few days, I suppose everybody giving a call from the everybody getting call or getting calls from the neighbors, and text messages from all the neighbors around the place. And it's great and warm.
And I know we touched on it before we started our official chat, but not only football, but a keen golfer as well.
Not too bad, no. it's great to get out and about. I suppose it takes your mind off football a small bit. And I try and get out once a week if I can. And it's enjoyable. It's enjoyable to get out and meet new people outside and play a bit of competition and stuff. It's great to get out and about.
What's the handicap at the moment?
I'm a bad 7. I should be a lot higher. I should be around a 10 or 11, I'd say.
Where does that rank then within the Clare football squad? Because I know there's a couple in there that kind of fancy themselves too.
Owen Collins now is ahead of me. He's I think he's down around 4 or 5, and I think Dale is close enough to me as well. So there's a few around there. There's a few golfers, and hopefully I get him out and about and doing big and show the links golf.
Absolutely. Let's come back to football then, because we touched on Dunbeg, and I know that it's a major part of your life as well, obviously, that playing senior from quite a young age as well. I mean, the longevity stretches in that direction too.
Yeah, I suppose make my senior debut, I think, was in 2006. Now, I could be wrong. 2005, 2006. So I've been around a long time. But as I said, it's enjoyable to be play with your club. As I said with Clare, it's an honour. It's an honour to play with Dunbeg, and they've got a great history and stuff like that. But we haven't been able to replicate what they've done in the 70s, 80s, 90s, and 2000s. I think we've fallen off the mark a small bit. But we've a great young bunch of players coming through again this year now, and with the mixing in with the older players and a bit of experience, and hopefully we can be thereabouts this year with the club.
Does that come down to generational stuff as much as anything else? Because everyone knows, numbers-wise, in West Clare, it has been a struggle for a number of clubs.
It probably is, yeah. We took over we had an academy back in Dunbeg there this year set up now, but it's going well at the moment. We've about 40 kids back there, boys and girls, so it's going well. And there's a few age groups we kind of struggled for numbers, but other age groups are under 13s. We've got great numbers in our under 17s as well. It's, as you said, it's tough. Numbers have kind of fallen a nice bit since we were playing football, but it's tough for a rural club.
You do have that championship medal, though, in the back pocket from a Dunbeg perspective. I'd imagine that's quite a proud one for you.
Yeah, it is, yeah. Just to win one championship is great. But I suppose when you're growing up in Dunbeg, you want more than one championship. And it's hopefully we can get another one before we put in throw in the towel. But no, it's as I said, there's a lot of I'm a long way behind my father, which is he always kind of reminds me most of the time. But so he's got me in them ones with the championship medals. But hopefully we can get another one.
How far behind?
5 behind him.
Bro. And he's not shy to tell you.
I'll have to play into my 40s to try to catch him. But there's a lot of great teams coming through in Clare at the moment, and it'll be tough at the moment.
Yeah, but no fear of you going well into the 50s, I'd say, the way you're going at the minute. Talk to me about the change, because I remember speaking to Gordon Kelly when he announced his retirement, that the change that came when Colm Collins took over as manager in Clare, and that first meeting you had where he set a particular goal, I think, did he tell you this is a top 16 team, that's got to be the aim?
Yeah, I remember well in the West County Hotel. There was about 30, 40 players aside there at the moment at that time, and he just told us straight up what he thought of the county panel. He told us we were what he thinks is we are a top 16 team. We're not playing the way it is, and it's great that he had that belief in us in the first place, that we were a top 16 team, and we just had to go out there and prove it. And you can see now the progress we've made over the last 8 years.
And I've often wondered how much of that is down to, like, if we're talking in the context of Mayo coming next and that being a preparation for Kerry, and with the greatest of respect to, we'll call them the weaker teams that you would have been playing in Division 4, I mean, how much of the improvement has been because of the level you've gone up playing the different opponents?
But you can always see it, like, anytime you go up the divisions, it gets tougher. And the chance to play Mayo the weekend or next weekend is a massive chance, a massive boost. When you look back, probably, I suppose, when I started off my career, all you wanted to do was dream of playing top teams like the Mayos and all them teams, Kerry's and Cork's. Starting off, it wasn't really going great for us. We were playing the likes of Kerry or Cork, and them top teams where I was kind of getting a bit of a drumming. But you see the way we've gone the last 8 years and competing with Cork. And I know it was a disappointing result of the weekend, losing by a point, but we had the better of them over the two National League games before that. And competing with the likes of Armagh and winning the first game ever against Cavan and Kildare the last day you can see the progress big time.
And like in that time as well, 3 times you lined out in Croke Park, which I'd imagine, you know, when things were going poorly, that you'd be saying, someone tell me I'm going to do that in the next 3 or 4 years would have been incredible stuff.
Yeah, I suppose when you're starting off, you always want to dream that your goal is to play in Croke Park. However you get there, if it's a league final or if it's qualifier or anything like that, it's always a dream to play in Croke Park and to get there, play there 3 times. It's just brilliant.
So we've obviously touched on the fact that Mayo are coming up. We remember the last time they were in Cusick Park, an unbelievable atmosphere. I suppose, unfortunately, we won't have that with crowds this time around. But given that, you know, the subs and backroom teams are making nearly as much noise these days, or maybe it's just that we can hear them more, I'm not sure. But a special occasion to look forward to nonetheless.
Yeah, it's going to be a huge game for us. It'll just show us how far we've come this year when you get a chance to play against Mayo. The crowd, I think they're talking about hopefully they'll be allowed 100 spectators into the stadium, which will be brilliant. But a few people have been asking me about how many was in the stadium the last day, because the crowd, they could hear the roars and shouting and everything. But it's just great to get people back into the stadium, into Cusick Park again, or into any stadium around the country. You see in the buzz above the North last weekend, the Armagh game. And you got to see the other games up there, which was it's great to hear the roar and the shouting and every sort of thing coming out of it. But it's going to be a huge game against Mayo. We know what we're up against. They're one of the top 3 or 4 teams in the country, probably not. This probably shouldn't be in Division 2. Kind of slipped up a bit last year, but it's great to get that competition. And it'll show us how far we've come this year.
Absolutely. And just, I suppose, a lot of people have been looking at yourself and talking about the longevity and all the rest of it. Pilates, talk to me how much of a role that's playing at the moment.
I think Seán O'Mara wanted me to start it a couple of weeks ago, or not, sorry, last year, but I kind of didn't really, I wasn't really a fan of it, I don't think, but I suppose since I've got plenty of time in my hands around the Christmas time and after Christmas, I said I'll sign up for it. So he signed me up early January, and Orla O'Neill was my one-on-one coach. So I've give her most of the credit there. She put me through her paces, and I don't know how they do it 4 or 5 times a day over there. But I struggled to get through the 40 minutes or 50 minutes I was in there. But I was doing it twice a week for 3 months, which I found brilliant. And I'd recommend anybody to give it a chance or give it a go. I think it's stood to me so far. I've no injuries. Touch wood now. I haven't picked up anything this year. But hopefully now I can continue that now for another few weeks anyway.
Was it the mobility, or what did you find was the big benefit from it?
Probably everything. The mobility was a big factor, all right. I suppose core is great for your core as well. And just everything about it, it's just great help.
I just saw an interview this morning, and I'm conscious that this is certainly far from a retirement interview, because David Tubridy has plenty left in him. We all know that. But Mark O'Shea from Kerry was talking about you and put you in the same bracket as a man that we probably both know well, you more so than me, obviously, Michael O'Shea, the late Michael from Kilkee, that he said you were two attackers that he hated coming up against because of the movements that you went about. And it just got me thinking, in terms of the defenders that you've met on the field over the last couple of years, who are the guys that stand out?
I suppose Mark O'Shea. It was like you always watch him playing matches. You want to mark the best. That's the way it goes. Like, and you see Mark O'Shea, and he run up defending the best attackers in the country. He was always a tough one to mark. I suppose the O'Gormans in Waterford. I played against them a lot in my early years in Division 4, and just hated marking them because they were a nuisance. They were just so tight. I suppose, like, trying to think now off the top of the head is tough. And McCarthy in Limerick, he was another top defender that got a lot of credit for his man marking style and stuff like that. Kieran MacDonald in Tipperary was always a tough man to come up against as well. There's a lot of tough competition, and people say that Division 4, you're not coming up against much, but I'm telling you one thing, if you're down there and you're marking the best defenders in the county, you really know about it there and playing them games.
Yeah, and I suppose just to touch on that, getting out of the Division 4, because I've often wondered, like, that if you lost maybe your first, or if you lost two games in Division 4, maybe promotion was gone from you. And obviously with no relegation, maybe your season could peter out. So even getting up to divisions and having something to play for nearly to the final day on everyone probably helped to sharpen up a lot of campaigns, did it?
Yeah, it did. Yeah, Division 4 was just a nightmare. I remember a lot of games. I suppose the Limerick game more so over in Cusick Park, where we lost out. If we drew the game, we would have went up. But I think I had a free the last kick of the game and missed the free for 45 yards out, and we went down to Waterford and we got a bit of a drumming down in Waterford. But I remember Cullen coming up to me. I think he took over the following year after that. I'm not too sure, but he came up to me and goes, "You probably should have went short with that ball." So, as I said, like he really took interest in Clare football, I suppose. As I said, Division 4 was just a total nightmare, and it was the toughest thing I'd ever have to get out of. I think Division 3 and Division 2, I played them any time rather than Division 4.
We'll finish up on this point, so not to blow his head up too much, but you touched on it there, like Cullum. What is it that you think he has brought to the setup, or what's made it? You'd mentioned that word belief an awful lot. Is that the key element of it?
I think it is most of the time, yeah. Belief. He gives, as I said in the articles before, that he gives young players a chance. He puts them in there because he knows they're going to do a job. And I suppose you see the last day there with Daniel Walsh, giving him his league debut there this year, giving him a chance, and he stood up and he took the bull by the horns the first day, and he's kept that spot. And there's other young fellas like Kevin Cooney and Aaron Griffin came on the last day from the bench and had a great performance. Darryl Bohannon has really showed up this year now how good he's playing, and that's the way Cullum is. He gives players a chance. He backs the players that he puts in there, and you just see that's all the player needs is a bit of a push, and it'll help any player.
Just very finally, to dispel some rumours that are out there, you haven't got the vaccine yet?
I haven't, no, not yet. I'm a good while away from that one, I am. But yeah, that was a funny, I think it was Emma McMahon that said it to me the first day over at Clare training. I think it was our first night back, and he just said, well, Tubbs, have you got the vaccine? Have you got the jab yet? And, no, I didn't get it yet, but a few more months, hopefully away from it.
absolutely, and hopefully a good few weeks left. David, thanks so much for joining us this afternoon.
No problem. Thanks very much, Derek.
That's David Tubbery there, ahead of Sunday's showdown with Mayo in Cusick Park. We'll have live commentary of that game here on Clare FM. It starts at 1:30. Quinn Road, Innes Home Furniture on the Quinn Road Business Park in Innes. Brendan Reedy and all the crew out there are our commentary sponsors for that game. We're on air from 1:30. Throw-in is at 1:45. Up next, we look ahead to Clare versus Kilkenny.
Oh, when I said a room with a view, I didn't mean overlooking Cusick Park.
Let DNG O'Sullivan Hurley and their award-winning team find your perfect view. Visit dngosullivanhurley.com. Proud sponsors of Clare FM's Sideline View.
The crowd goes quiet. He steps up. It's a big moment for him. He puts the key in the door and he's in! Yes! Another happy customer from DNG O'Sullivan Hurley. Proud sponsors of Clare FM's Sideline View.
Welcome back to the show, where we are turning now to hurling as Clare round off their Division 1B campaign at home to Kilkenny tomorrow afternoon. Brian Cody naming his team for that game earlier today, with the likes of TJ Reid, Owen Cody, Walter Walsh for the first time this year, and Padraig Walsh all included in the first 15. The Clare team expected to be named tonight, and there is some speculation David McInerney could be in line for a first appearance of the year, so we'll wait and stay tuned for that team announcement later on this evening. Usually around 9 o'clock or thereabouts, we should have some news on it. Ahead of that, I spoke with Clare selector Ken Ralph, and he said last week's win over Dublin was a welcome one for a number of reasons.
I think it was a good momentum builder and, you know, good confidence booster. So, yeah, look, it sets us up for Kilkenny, and we're really looking forward to it. We know what we're going to get, so it'll be a serious test. So, yeah, something to look forward to.
I suppose that sense now of the year starting to ramp up, and in that respect, the final quarter from Clare, a real positive to take away, finishing out the game very strong.
Yes, correct, Eric. Yeah, it was. We thought it was a big ramp up in the intensity levels, and it's exactly what we needed, really. We thought we were going okay up to that, and yeah, so look, that kind of proved that, I think, we were going well, going the right direction. Dublin asked a whole lot of difficult questions of anyone in Parnell Park, and I just think our lads, you know, there was a bit of a wobble before half time, but I just think they showed real defiance in the second half to go out and just, you know, respond and kick on, and yeah, we thought it was a good win. All right, yeah.
Tell me, are goals at either end of the field something that is being spoken about? Because I suppose there has been those little lapses in concentration that could hurt you very much so come championship, while at the other end, you know, have we been creating as many goal chances as we'd like?
Well, look, in maybe in different games, I suppose we're creating plenty of goal chances in some games. But specifically to Saturday, look, we didn't score a goal. We'd like to score goals in every game, Derek. I think we didn't trouble the goalie enough, I suppose. But I do think we probably had a fair chance of a goal if Shane O'Donnell wasn't taken down for that, for what ended up sending off the fence. I think he was in on goal there. Yeah, look, goals would be nice, Derek. But look, 34 points, I suppose, is nothing to be sneezed at either. So, yeah, look, we want to score more goals and we want to concede less goals. So look, that's a no-brainer, really. So it's something we're working on and something we have to continue to work on.
If you were to put a pin now on the roadmap of 2021, are you happy that you're kind of where you are need to be now with the weeks counting down to championship?
Yeah, we're happy enough, Eric. Yes, look, it's 3 weeks away. We think we're going the right direction. We have a couple of injuries we could have done without, but unfortunately there's nothing we can do about that, so look, it could be better, it could be worse, but we think we're in decent enough shape. Saturday will be a serious test, We'll know a lot more after that, I suppose. And then, look, it's all systems go then for Thurles against a really good Waterford team. They looked devastating last weekend against Galway. They did get reeled in after that, but Jesus, when they're on the front foot, they're a serious position, you know. And I know Liam a long time now. Liam will have them, you know, he'll have them really ready and raring to go come championship time.
I suppose just finally, this is maybe the perfect game for that then, because you're meeting arguably the form team in the country. 4 wins from 4, they're the only team to have done that, so you'll have a right old test.
Yeah, someone said once that, you know, generally Kilkenny teams are great teams, and if they're not great teams, they have a ceiling or a floor that they don't go below, and that's something you'll always get with Kilkenny teams. There's a floor there that at the very least they're going to be, you know, savage intensity, you know, raring to go, testing you to the limits, and, you know, they have a serious sprinkling of top-class hurlers, not just good hurlers, top-class hurlers. You know, they have got a couple of young hurler of the years, you know, they've former hurler of the years at senior level. So look, it's Kilkenny is always the acid test to see where you are, and it probably just comes at the right time for us to test ourselves and see where we are.
Clare hurling selector Ken Ralph there. Time now to get the Kilkenny view. I spoke with their 8-time All-Ireland winner, Eddie Brennan. He says this year's league has been more focused on championship preparations than anything else.
This league is not really of any significance other than player development for teams that need to find a few players. That's how I see it anyway. I think Kilkenny have had to go find set up. They have to find a few new guys. They need to generate real good competition for places on the team, which, you know, you'd say maybe arguably wasn't there the last couple of years, and probably find a system that takes a bit of pressure off the likes of TJ Reid somewhat. So it's been a good campaign in that regard, because, you know, the likes of Dara Corcoran has stepped up, James Bergen has some good showings, Adrian Mullen has got a bit of time into the legs, so from that point of view, he's probably looked at a nice few players. But look, obviously, the league is one thing with no consequences compared to, you know, the cut and thrust of the championship, which is coming around the corner. But look, I'm not going to, I suppose, lessen what it is. Look, it's been a positive for Kilkenny in that regard, but obviously the bigger challenge lies ahead.
Absolutely. And from a Clare perspective, back-to-back wins now, we'll probably get a bit of momentum going. Have you got to see much of them over the campaign?
Not hugely now, but look, I looked at, I suppose, part of the league match, and even the weekend, you know, we caught up with the highlight side of it, and you'd have to say, look, to shoot a big score, you know, to clear your 30 points, obviously that's where most teams are aiming towards now, and Clare did that in Parnell Park, and I think it's important to point out too that Parnell Park over the last 10 or 12 years has been a really, really difficult place to go to get results. So I think that's one aspect of it that would really please Brian Lowen, is that the team are kind of digging in now, really, and they're fighting for each other. And, you know, you'd say last year they got to a quarterfinal against Waterford, and, you know, maybe I suppose having a few more games together might have stood them in better stead going into that match. But I think all in all, you know, he'd be pleased that the focus and the energy is all really going into the hurling now, which is where it always needs to be for any manager. I think you need everything is geared towards getting the players playing at their best and getting all your players on the pitch and having a good bond between the players and good spirit.
If both players line out, I'd imagine that we'll be looking at Tony Kelly and TJ topping the scoring stakes here. We're, you know, arguably hitting towards the 15, 16, 17 point personal tally, and that in itself is something that has been debated across the last couple of weeks in the league. Where do you stand on all this thing of hurling turning into a free taking competition and all that debate?
Yeah, there's two sides of the coin, really. I think we all love seeing, you know, a high speed game, a high tempo game with plenty of shooting and stuff like that and high intensity, but I think, unfortunately, the narrative coming out of the league is it's really kind of pushing the narrative of, you know, is the ball now too light, you know, and I think somewhere in between, like, the truth, because players now are superbly conditioned, they're really, really strong, they're looking at all the technical aspects, having it right when they get on the pitch. But I think when you see Freeze being smacked over the bar from, your own 45 is becoming kind of normal now. I think, you know, we might say, Jesus, you know, is midfield irrelevant now? Is the full forward line now saying, once you get around midfield, everybody is looking at shooting, and, you know, what way do we figure our inside man? And yes, when teams step out, I suppose, then you're going to go over the half-back line and pop it inside and try to get those goals. But, look, there's issues there, I suppose. For me, I think that real cut and thrust, there's been some decent matches, but that real edge that comes with championship and comes with losing is probably not there in terms of defending. I think it's probably the way teams are playing nowadays. There's a lot of runners off the shoulder. There's a lot of carrying the ball, breaking the tackle, and having numbers going forward. And then trying to, you know, hit someone in space. I think I've seen a lot of players from the halfbacks, particularly upwards, and they're just breaking off into space, and you have guys then trying to find them and be willing to shoot, score. So I suppose I described it a bit like Platini-esque. At the moment, I think it's real. We're going to outshoot the opposition. And look, from a spectator's point of view, some people will really, really like that. But for me, I like a bit of balance. I think to have that real quality defending, the art of actual defending, and I think maybe there's a lot of factors at play. Maybe how referees are being instructed to referee is possibly an issue. I think as a result of that, the refs are under a little bit of pressure at the moment because they tend to follow what instructions they get. I love to see referees trust their instincts and referees facilitate a good game and deal with whatever comes their way. And I think sometimes, maybe we're interfering unduly. I mean, I'd like to see a rule come in or a change come in that's for the good of the game, and it's in the interest of everybody to bring in that rule. And sometimes maybe we're guilty of maybe making changes for the sake of it. But it's a big debate, and unfortunately, look, I suppose we could talk about that for hours on end.
Yeah, just to finish up on that point, you mentioned the actual art of defending, and I think it was that spare hand, I think that phrase now has become even more prevalent in hurling.
It is. And look, I think there's obviously clever use of that too. I mean, I think, look, what you don't want to see is lads being pulled and dragged and you know, I suppose an illegal tackle, for want of a better way of describing it. But obviously interpretation is the key issue. And when you have a game that moves as fast as hurling, that can be tricky for referees to interpret. But I think, you know, I was listening to Don Loke there Saturday evening with Shane Dowling, and I don't like what they're kind of pushing. They seem to be, you know, Don Loke is pushing this pure, beautiful hurling, but hurling is robust, it's physical. You know, there has to be an element of trying to, you know, get your tackle in as well. I think we'd all love a free-flowing challenge match where we can exhibit the skills of the game. I mean, there's a place for that, without a doubt. But when you come down to the real cut and thrust of championship hurling, you know, the art of proper defending, you know, the hooking and the blocking, obviously we want to advocate the positives of that. You don't want to see, you know, stuff going under, you know, not being picked up by referees where, you know, a forward is being nullified illegally. You know, that's obviously what we're trying to advocate here. But do I want good physical exchanges, good honest exchanges? I think if lads are making genuine tackles, and obviously then the ref has to make those calls if he feels that something is cynical or something is a deliberate foul. I think they have to deal with that, because the one thing you don't want to see is some of those rugby type tackles that we're seeing coming in now where players sidestep a guy and just take out someone. And again, when I use examples to describe it, you're not trying to, it's not personal, but you take the likes of the Declan Hannan incident in the All-Ireland final last year, where a guy sidesteps him and he just kicked the legs from underneath him. That's the type of stuff that you say, right, let's nail that. But if lads are really trying genuinely and they're making an honest to God effort, and there's a little bit of, you know, tipping and tapping of hurdles when a lad tries to hook a guy and he just clips him on the helmet, that's all part of the game as I see it. It's different when there's an actual strike.
Kilkenny's Eddie Brennan there raising some interesting points on the state of the game of hurling. What do you think at home? 086-1800-964 is the number if you want to get in touch tonight. Live commentary of that game, Clare versus Kilkenny, tomorrow here on Clare FM. Build up from 2:45, throw in at 3. Don't go anywhere, we have lots more to come.
Work
coming into the last stretch of Clare FM's Sideline View Stakes, and DNG O'Sullivan Hurley are pushing hard now as they head towards the home stretch, and it's DNG O'Sullivan Hurley that are going to take the title of number one estate agents in County Clare, followed by Don Roman. DNG O'Sullivan Hurley, the Clare winners.
Welcome back to Sideline View here on Clare FM. It's time now to wrap up the week's action on the Greyhound track. We have Alan Troy on Clare FM's Greyhound Focus.
Clare FM's Greyhound Update, in association with Greyhound Racing Ireland, because this runs deep.
Very good evening to all our listeners on Greyhound Focus. We commence this week's report from headquarters Shelbourne Park. Saturday last, it was a very successful night for the banner with three associated Clare winners on the card. It was a dream night for the Butsies Bucko Syndicate from Shannon, which comprises of David Ryan, Owen Collins and Ryan Hodge, when they recorded an impressive double. Butsies Bingle, who has been referred to as the pride of Ballycasey in the past, recorded his 12th career success in a magnificent 28-23. This son of Pinpoint Maxie and Kilikal Tammy has been a star for the lads, and on this run could be a major player for this year's Bile Sports Greyhound Derby. Butsy's Best, a younger half-brother of Bengal, by top sire Bally MacBest, had the syndicate in Dreamland when he romped home in 29.80 for the 550 yards trip. Both charges are trained by Attenry native Jerry Holohan. Liscannor native Declan McDonough made a long trip from Kenelty to Dublin with his ever-consistent performer Tradesman, and it was well worth the journey when the son of Droopy's Jet and Beeves Rock landed the spoils in 28.71. This dog is owned by Shane Coonahan from Gort. Declan has been making a name for himself as an up-and-coming trainer in the last few months, enjoying some notable performances, especially in Shelbourne Park, and he receives great assistance from his brother Terry. Staying in Shelbourne Park, the semi-finals of the Sport and Press Online Edition Oaks takes place Saturday night, and on the national front, the aptly named Explosive Buy fulfilled his potential by winning the Larry O'Rourke National Project Stake in Clonmel. This is a major classic on the racing calendar, and a Pat Gilfile trained runner won in an impressive 28-28 to take home the winner's prize of 16,000. This Saturday night, the highly regarded Race of Champions 550 takes place in Tralee. There are three semi-final heats, with the first and second progressing to the €15,000 final. Owen Spice, owned by Tomás O'Doherty of the Owen Pride Bar, Coura Clare, and trained by Ballyhea's John Brown, goes in Heat 1, and the aforementioned Butsy's Bingle will contest Heat 2. Closer to home, there was one night's racing in Galway last weekend, which was held on Saturday night. It was a very fruitful evening for Ballyhea's Pat Hogan, who recorded a nice double. Ballyalla's Pat Hogan. Alton Ginny took the opening race in 29.77 in an A6 in her third career success. This daughter, former brood of the year Portumna West, is trained by Donny Duggan from Quinn. The Alton Prefix was to the fore again in the third race when Alton Zero took the honours in 29.29 in an A5 contest. Zero is trained by Galway's Seamus Fahey. The accolade for performance of the night went to Brickhill Yankee, who scorched home in an excellent 28.73 for an A2 contest. Yankee is jointly owned by two Clare Patriots in Albert Long, a Ballyhea native who resides in Clifton, and John Collins, a Kilmehel native living in County Mayo. This dog is trained by Loch Gray native Kevin Marmion. The final race of the evening went to Pinnacle Rio, who recorded his ninth career success in 29.30. Rio is the son of Rio Quattro, a former English Derby winner, and is owned by Michael Costlow from Ballyvaughan. And Limerick Saturday night, it hosted the semi-finals of the Greyhound and Pet World Golden Muzzle 550. This final now will take place this coming Saturday night, and representing the banner, we have Bling Bling Paul, owned by John Meehan from Quinn, who is drawn Trap 2 in the 4,000 winner-takes-all purse on offer. The first race last Saturday night was a novice 350. Quilty Get Gonto commenced his racing career with a decent 19.37 win for James Burke from Innes. So Gone Jerry made it two career wins in a row, leading home in 29.08 in an A5. Owned by father and son team Anthony and Mark Cusick from Coura Clare, Sugan Jerry is a member of a homebred litter by Skywalker Tuku and Sugan Jet, and on which three members of this young litter have entered the winner's enclosure. Sean Heher from Dunsala, Milltown Malbay, was smiling all the way home after his Dunsala Sal ran with distinction, winning in 30-16 over the 550 yards trip. Sal is a daughter of Droopy's Nidge and Alexandra. Alexandra is a litter sister of former Supreme athletes and record breakers Paradise Madison and Mal Brandy. And in the Tulla flag was flying after another father and son team. Michael and Donica McNamara recorded an 8 career success with Rockalong Cosmos, who crossed the line in 1928 in an S1-S2 contest. Last night, the Thursday night meeting, it produced 3 clear winners. Fergus Lady ran with distinction, recording 29-22 in an A3 contest. Lady is owned by Patrick Cronin from Meelig. Ardbula Podge, owned by Eamon and Mary Murphy from Tulla, took the honours in the third race of the evening, recording his first career success in 29-39. And Tom Flanagan from Innisdiamon, who runs his dogs under the Mythical and Dromoher prefixes, presented Mythical Hippie for race 4, who duly obliged, crossing the line in pole position in 29-18. That's it for this week's folks, and I'd like to take this opportunity to wish the Clare hurlers all the best on Saturday and the Clare footballers the very best when they take on Mayo on Sunday.
Alan, thanks for that. And if you missed some or all of that, you can check it out on the Clare FM social media channels to listen or watch back right now. A big weekend for the Clare senior camogie squad as they'll be bidding to maintain their spot in Division 1 of the National League. Ger O'Connell's side face Dublin tomorrow in St Brendan's Park in Birr in what is a relegation semi-final, effectively. Victory will see them safe, but defeat puts them into the relegation final against Waterford. That game penciled in for next weekend. Hopefully we won't have to be talking about that one. Ger Fields, they're looking to bounce back from a disappointing showing against Limerick last time out.
Since the Limerick game has given us a chance to regroup and reset, you know, and just really go back to basics and train hard for the last two to three weeks. So that's exactly what we've done. And in fairness, the girls have been really good there for the last few weeks.
Yeah, I suppose that was important, that opportunity to reset, was it?
Yeah, it was. It was. Look, there's no denying there's frustration on all sides, you know. Kind of we really went into the Limerick game kind of, we're bouncing, we played well without winning against Galway, and I suppose, look, you just need to keep backing those performances up, you know. And we just say we go back to basics and maybe cut out the tactics and analysis for a couple of weeks and just go back to real hard training, and that's what we've done.
This, I suppose, it's still a league game, but I mean, there's going to be a championship feel to it, isn't there?
Yeah, absolutely. Look, Dublin are a decent side, kind of, you know, when we went into play them last year, kind of nobody knew what to call, you know. We play really well on the day, and kind of everyone going in said it was a 50-50 game, and it'd be the same this weekend, you know. Dublin have a new manager. I know him from UL, you know. He'd be well organised and have the Dublin side ready to go. But I think we'd be the same on our side, you know. I think players know how big a game it is, and it kind of has that championship feel to it.
Because obviously championship isn't all that far away, so I suppose now is the time that you kind of need to start peaking as well, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. Kind of, you're waiting so long for games, and so when we went back, you know, games every week, you know, and I think, yeah, as I said, that 3 weeks between games there has kind of helped us to reset, as I said, and get ourselves, not only physically, but mentally, I suppose, ready again and ready to go for the game on Saturday.
How is the injury list looking?
Yeah, it's not so bad. Kind of hoping to have a couple of players back. And look, you have Aoife Powers, kind of a longer-term injury with her knee, and same with Ciara Doyle and with her ankle since the Galway game, you know. So you do a couple of injuries like that, which, look, you'll obviously have a few niggles, but it's a matter of the next person up, I suppose, is the way to go. And that's what we're trying to build as well, you know, get a kind of really competitive panel within the group, you know.
Clare Camogie manager Ger O'Connell there ahead of their game tomorrow against Dublin in Offaly in St Brendan's Park in Birr. That one starts at 5 o'clock. Busy weekend as well on the club hurling scene, games in Division 1A, 1B and all the rest of the divisions as well in the club hurling leagues. In Division 1B, it's about to get underway in Killaloe. Smith O'Brien's hosting Newmarket there. 7 more games across tomorrow afternoon, starting off with Cratloe hosting Clooney Quinn from 1. You've also got Ballyhale going to Kilmainey and Clonlara entertaining Aine Kilnamona. Both those games at 6:30 tomorrow evening in Division 1A. And in Division 1B, it's Waltones versus Tulla, Erog hosting O'Callaghan's Mills, Whitegate at home against Clarecastle, and St Joseph's making the trip to Six Mile Bridges second side. And the county champions themselves, they're out Sunday afternoon. They go to Feakle at 4:30, while it's a 6:30 start in Broadford as the home side meet Croisín. We will be keeping you posted on all those games right across the afternoon on Sunday, along with that live commentary as well from the park of Clare and Mayo. It's where we have to leave you though on this evening's Sideline View here on Clare FM. As we mentioned, loads to look forward to that live game tomorrow in Cusick Park, Clare versus Kilkenny. Updates from all those Clare Cup encounters, and indeed the big one as well, Sunday afternoon, Clare versus Mayo in Cusick Park. Owen O'Neill is up next with the very best of Irish traditional music and song on the West Wind until 9. He'll keep you going. I'll talk to you tomorrow.